It's a very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next couple of hours or so. We're not having two topics today. We're just doing one, but we're extending it because certainly it's worth it. We are in political chaos. That's exactly what's happening in Ireland, but it's been happening for months, bubbling underground. Leo even said himself, by the way, he thought about this over the Christmas period. It was only last weekend he decided, really, it's time to go. And why did he decide last weekend? Pretty obvious, isn't it? Massive defeat in a referendum, not just one, but two referendums at the one time. For the first time in the history of the state, a massive record-breaking defeat for the government, who thought the people were going to go one way, but they went the other. Which proved they were completely disconnected from the vision of the future from the Irish people. But here's the thing. I want to know today what you think of Leo Varadkar's. What about his tenure as leader of the country? Did he do a good job? He seems to think he did. He was telling us all the great things he did with Brexit. And in fairness, he did in relation to the backstop, for example. He was telling us all the wonderful things he did, but didn't remind us about all the bad things that he did. But anyway, have a quick listen to what he said briefly. We just edited it down. Have a quick listen to what he said as he stood on the steps.
When I became party leader and Taoiseach back in June 2017, I knew that one part of leadership is knowing when the time has come to pass on the baton to somebody else and then having the courage to do it. That time is now. So I am resigning as president and leader of Fine Gael effective today and will resign as Taoiseach as soon as my successor is able to take up that office. I've asked our party general secretary and executive council to provide for the new leader to be elected in advance of the Ardesh on Saturday, April 16th, thus allowing a new Taoiseach to be elected when the Dáil resumes after the Easter break. There's never a right time to resign high office. However, this is as good a time as any. Budget 2024 is done. Negotiations have not yet commenced on the next one. The institutions of the Good Friday Agreement are working again. And our trading relationship with the UK in the post-Brexit era is settled and stable. The new Taoiseach will have a full 2 months to prepare for the local and European elections and up to a year before the next general election. My reasons for stepping down are both personal and political. I believe this government can be re-elected and I believe my party, Fine Gael, can gain seats in the next Dáil. Most of all, I believe the re-election of this three-party government would be the right thing for the future of our country, continuing to take us forward, protecting all that's been achieved and building on it. But after careful consideration and some soul searching, I believe that a new Taoiseach and a new leader will be better placed than me to achieve that. I am standing aside in the absolute confidence that the country and the economy are in a good place and that my colleagues in government from all three parties Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Greens and the Oireachtas will continue to work hard for the nation's best interests.
Yeah.
I know inevitably there'll be speculation as to the quote-unquote real reason for my decision. These are the real reasons. That's it. I have nothing else lined up. I have nothing in mind. I have no definite personal or political plans. I want to finish by thanking the people of Ireland for giving me the opportunity to serve them. And I promise I'll keep working for Ireland and my community in any way I can in the future. Thank you very much.
Yes, well, well done. Well done. There you go. He told us all the good stuff that he did, but not the bad stuff that he did. And there's a lot of bad stuff. He thinks the country's in a good position and a good state. He's delusional. Can I just say from the outset that as a person and as a man, I think Leo Varadkar's a nice guy. I genuinely believe his heart is in the right place. I do believe he is a good person. Not for 1 minute do I think anything but that. But here's the caveat. As a politician and as the leader of the country, I think he failed miserably. The country has never been, as far as I believe, morally and otherwise, in a worse position. Economically, we're doing okay for a small country of 5 million people. Our economy is quite good. But we're recklessly spending money hand over fist. We've had a reckless immigration policy. We've had a cost of living crisis that's affecting everybody. Young people are leaving the country in hordes because they can't afford to live in their own country anymore. The list is endless. The waiting lists in hospitals have gone from 800,000 up to 1.3 million. You can't get a GP anymore. Look, he's delusional if he believes he's leaving the country in a good position. He said there's never a right time to step down as Taoiseach. There is a right time. Experts have said it numerous times in relation to election campaigns. The right time is about 6 weeks before an election. That's the right time to step down and pass on the baton to somebody else who you can think leads your party into a successful election. Resigning a year beforehand, as far as I'm concerned, is no different to what Bertie Ahern did, which is abandoning the ship. The sinking ship, as far as I can see. Morally and otherwise. I wish him well in the future. He said he has no plans. But I want to know today what you thought of Leo Varadkar's leadership. The number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. And who do you think should take that baton? Or do you agree with the Labour Party and People Before Profit and the Sock Dems and everybody else that there should be a general election? That would be confusing with the local elections, a referendum and the European elections all coming in June. The general election wasn't planned, probably till somewhere between November and March next year. But I want to know what you think. Should there be a general election? Who should be the Taoiseach? Simon Harris seems to be pitched for the job already. What do you think? Joining me is Ronan Mullins, Senator Ronan Mullins. Ronan, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Niall.
And before we start, Ronan, congratulations on a wonderful campaign for both referendums. You worked tirelessly. You were on this show, God knows how many times, and you worked tirelessly to get the no vote. And it was overwhelming. It was a landslide. It was overwhelming.
I was delighted with the result. Yeah, absolutely. I was delighted with the result. And I suppose congratulations to the people of Ireland who showed their in my view, their good sense. I mean, obviously the majority, we respect the minority as well. This was a thumping majority against both proposals. And I think what it shows is sometimes, you know, political parties, they're all sniffing the wind and opinion polls and just heading for wherever they think the herd is going as they see it. And maybe egged on by establishment media. But, you know, when people are asked important questions, they think about it before they give their answer. And they clearly listen
to
the people like Michael McDougall and myself and others were given, and they felt they were more credible. And I'm grateful for that.
Well, it shows that the government didn't read the room. And that's essentially what happened. Leo Varadkar said he had thought about resigning for personal reasons, apart from anything else, at Christmas. But he made his mind up last weekend. Clearly he made his mind up because he must have believed himself in his own mind that as a leader, he's disconnected from the people and he doesn't understand what the people of this country actually want anymore.
Yeah, well, it's hard to think that the referendum result wasn't a big part of the push. You know, there is that sense that the government is tired, that it is out of touch with people. We've spoken for you and I about the gender ideology and the woke stuff that seems to be driving them. There's a lot of impatience among, you know, ordinary people of why aren't they, you know, focusing constantly on, you know, managing the country well in terms of our resources, in terms of dealing with the challenges, you know, whether it's in the area of migration or housing or health, to try and have some kind of just response that honours human dignity and puts human dignity at the centre and uses the country's resources well, instead of these kind of boutique political obsessions.
Culture wars, and
at the taxpayers' expense. And we've talked about the money being, you know, lavished on NGOs. I know we need NGOs sometimes, you know, very importantly, to deliver services so that not everything is just delivered by the all-controlling power of the state. But when you have NGOs basically, you know, sucking at the teeth of the state, so to speak, and using the public's resources then to campaign on their own terms and in a way that's no way accountable, then that's a big problem. And Leo, you know, I have very mixed feelings about Leo Varadkar because there's a lot that I admire about him. I think he's a very talented man with a lot of ability. But, you know, and I think if one is to criticise his tenure and say, look at all the problems that are there in the country, suppose if we're honest about it, we'd say, well, was there anybody better who would have made a difference, or would they all have been the same?
I think, Ronan, sorry for interrupting, when we look back at young Leo Varadkar, we've all seen that clip on the news being played over and over again, particularly over the last 24 hours. This young man of 22 years of age, who got the highest amount of votes in his own area in the council, by the way, at the time, in the country. He was a very ambitious young man. He said he wanted to lead the country. And he got that opportunity that only, you know, something like 0.0001% of us will ever get, which is to run the country. He got that opportunity and he made a mess of it because I believe it was lack of leadership. And I've watched Leo quite intently because I think, I genuinely believe, and I said this already, he's a nice person, but that doesn't make him a good leader or a good politician, right? I think he's a nice person. And during COVID, for example, there was once or twice he stepped out of line and he said he didn't trust Neffet, for example. He didn't believe they were making the right decisions. He thought lockdowns were a waste of time. And the following day, he pulled back in his horns again. You know, we've seen him during even the referendum. He looked cagey about the previous referendum. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think if you watched him on that 7 o'clock show, I really don't believe he had the belief in it. I don't think he wanted it. I think there was a lot of stuff that he wanted to do, but felt he couldn't because he didn't have the party behind him. So I don't think he took the reins and I don't think he took leadership. And I think that was hurting him morally.
Yeah, and I think you're reading him well there. Like, I think he is a guy with some fundamentally very good instincts. I'll just tell you an own story. I know not everybody agrees with, you know, none of us agrees with each other all of the time anyway. So you know where I'm coming from. I've been very involved in the pro-life issue over the years and I have, you know, views that marriage matters for society and I've never been afraid of saying this is what I think and agree or disagree with me if you want, but I'm trying to get it right according to my own light. I remember when I was first elected in 07, Leo invited me out to his constituency organisation, Fine Gael. I'm an independent, obviously, but you know, had to get an invitation to go and meet people and to talk about my ideas and values. And at that time, we talked about issues like the law on marriage and whether there would be a change on it and so on. I think the Fine Gael policy at that time was about civil partnership. But I spoke about that and a whole range of other issues. And it was a very, very lively meeting. And there were people who agreed strongly with me and there were people then who disagreed. But it was enjoyable. It was a real constituency meeting. But what I remember from that time was Leo stating clearly on that occasion, I see myself as a Christian Democrat, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
So and a lot of the leadership at that time, the Michael Noonans who were in charge of Fine Gael, I suppose, Michael went in after the bad election over. It was Enda Kenny that was in charge from 02. But Michael Noonan was still a kind of a grandee of the party. And it was kind of being said, you know, some of the younger generation are more conservative. It was the word they used. Now, that's a word that isn't a very nice word because we think of the Conservative Party in Britain and, you know, all the toffs and all that. But conserving, you know, are basically trying to kind of get back to kind of core values, I suppose, and not just letting their feathers go with the wind in terms of the worst excesses of the liberal agenda. And there was that sense that Leo and Simon Harris and, of course, Lucinda Creighton were kind of in that vanguard.
She was wonderful, by the way. I, daring to think
differently from their elders. And Leo had that. And that was the kind of club he came from. And, you know, and then you also saw he had the talent to kind of speak his mind. Now, sometimes he shot his mouth off. If you take that moment in the Dáil, for example, when he is leader and he's having a go at Brian Cowan, and comparing him with Garrett Fitzgerald, you know,
I remember that.
Criticizing somebody from his own side and saying, you know, and you can look forward to writing your boring articles in the Irish Times. That wasn't a very nice thing to say. It was a little bit brash and it was funny. It wasn't a nice thing to say, and certainly for poor old Garrett Fitzgerald, you know, it was probably more than needed to be said, whether one liked these articles in the Irish Times or not. But at least it showed that Leo had the willingness to speak his mind. But then, if you look at what happened in those years, and I do see it, you know, through the lens of the what happened on the pro-life issue, because you had the legislation in 2013 for the X case, and all of those guys basically were forced to either be with the government line in the Kenny, Phil Hogan and them. They were in coalition with Labour. They'd done a deal. There was going to change on this. And those guys had to get on board. And people like Simon Harris then became the most virtuous choir boys for the point of view that they previously criticized.
We're going to come to that in a minute. That concerns me more so.
Leo always, I think, had a sense of, I think anyway, a sense of embarrassment. But he did also go on this famous political journey, which politicians go on. And it always seems to be on the same road that leads to political high office.
Do you think he was afraid? Do you think he was afraid to say what he really felt? I mean, if you go back, for example, back to 2011, he said that he didn't believe that a same-sex couple should be allowed to adopt children and all that kind of stuff, right? But we noticed then, of course, when he came out himself, and this has nothing to do with his own sexual orientation, but he came out in 2015, his views seemed to change somewhat. And moving forward, he seemed to get more progressive and more liberal as he went along. But was it a case that he was being brought along by the party, he was being brought along by the NGOs, but didn't have the leadership? As a person, he was quite willing to speak out. So we even saw him during COVID when he was sitting in gigs and sitting drinking beer in the parks. You know, so he wasn't really playing the game. But yet, politically, he was playing the game. In other words, he didn't have the leadership to turn around and say, I think this is wrong. You know what I mean? And lads, here, I'm the one in charge here, not you lot. I tell you, and if you're not toeing the line, you're out the door. He didn't really have he didn't seem to ever have the power to do that. Or maybe he just didn't have the leadership skills to do that.
Yeah, look, he started young, and that can be a problem. You know, these guys then, they get the, they're very, you know, these are dizzy heights they reach. And I don't think it was his party so much that would be the problem, although there would have been tendencies within the party that were driving, but they'd be in different directions. You know, Fine Gael has a quite a conservative wing, although it hasn't been treating them with a lot of respect in recent years. But definitely these guys who are in the hands of handlers, I think, you know, now you're in power, this is the way it must be. This is the deal you have to do. The Faustian pact. In order to keep power, you have to be in with the kind of the European institutions. You have to be the best boy in the class kind of thing. And I think that's what Leo did to some degree. He played the game. As I say, nothing to do with his personal life. But, you know, it would have been a triumph for him, for example, from my perspective, and people will disagree with me on some of these things, but it would have been a triumph for him if he had said, you know what, this is my personal life, it is, and everybody would have respected it. And I know the time he made his big announcement, I wished him well, as many others did, say, look, at, you know, we wish you well in your career. But the trouble was, it became, his personal life became the narrative. It became part of the political narrative, which it didn't need to do. And it would have been really refreshing if he said, this is my personal life, but I still have my views on same-sex marriage or same-sex adoption specifically, or I still have my views on the pro-life issue. But but instead, they went for handlers and opinion polls, and we said, this is what it looks like the public want. Now we're going to embrace it, and we're going to try to cheerlead for it. And that's so disempowering, because it leaves a lot of people then scratching their heads and say, well, what do these people stand for, you know? And that's a real pity. Now, he's got in and out early in life. He has a long life ahead of him, please God.
He did say, by the way, there's never a good time to resign, but this is the worst time. Okay, so it's a year before an election. Experts say the best time to step down is always about 6 weeks before an election.
I heard you say that, yes.
Yeah. I'm a bit pushed for time, Ronan, but I want to just get very quickly to Simon Harris. Of course, Simon Harris is the one who's pitched to take his job. It looks like it's going to be Simon Harris at this stage. Look, the country is in a mess. The homeless figures have gone up. There's now, when they took over, there was 8,000. Now there's 14,000 people in temporary accommodation. The waiting lists for the hospitals have gone up probably by about 20%. You can't get a GP in the country. Young people can't afford to buy a home in the country. The cost of living has gone up. Everything that they were meant to fix has got worse. So where does that leave Simon Harris? Is he capable of actually fixing any of this?
I don't see Simon Harris as a man who has his own ideas. You know, I see Simon Harris as a very intelligent guy who is well able to take the brief and go out and sell it. But I don't see it as being Simon Harris that will be leading the country.
See, there was already a vote of no confidence in Simon Harris. You know what I mean? It's bizarre that they're going to re-elect him. Yeah.
I don't want to be down on him personally, but because there may be others that have the same problem. I am sceptical of people who go into politics too soon in life. But that doesn't explain the way people like Simon Coveney and Michael Micheál Martin have also bemused me in recent years. So I haven't fully worked out my theories on this.
Right.
But my instinct is that somebody like Pascal Donoghue, put it this way, I don't know if it's a qualification, but he's a guy who's capable of writing a book, and he certainly reads lots of books. And that would suggest to me that he is a man who is himself interested in ideas. Now, if you think that's a good idea in a political leader, and it might or might not be, maybe a good political leader is somebody who is just a salesman or saleswoman.
Well, I think I'd prefer Pascal to Simon, to be honest with you, but I think Pascal is not interested. I think he's too busy. I think he's a lot going on in his own life, work-wise, to be dealing with, obviously, taking over the country. Just finally, in relation to, you know, the calls for a general election, do you believe it should be up to the people to re-elect a leader, or do you believe, are you happy enough with the status quo for them to just pass on the baton?
Oh, yeah. The law says 5 years, and I think people can pass on the baton within that. I mean, you know, I don't think that there's any kind of moral onus to go to the country now simply because they're changing the Taoiseach. The Taoiseach, in the end, isn't elected by the people. The Taoiseach is elected by the people that the people elect. And that will remain the same as well. That's my own view.
Okay, listen, thank you very much indeed, Senator Roland Mullins. I appreciate you coming on.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Niall.
Thanks. Let me go to Sarah if I can. Sarah, hi, how are you?
Hi, not too bad. How are you?
Good, Sarah. I mean, firstly, your reaction to Leo leaving, are you happy, sad? Did you like him?
No, I didn't like him. I am delighted he's gone, but at the same time, I'm not getting too excited because who's going to replace him is the question. I think that
Let's say it's Simon Harris. It looks like Simon Harris, you know.
No, I'm not happy about Simon Harris going in there at all either. They're all just the same, you know what I mean? They're all the same, and I think it should go to a general election. At this point, because it's very, very evident and clear that the population and the Irish people are so deeply concerned and so unhappy with the way the country is moving towards. And, you know, once you're in the same political party, the same ideologies, they're not listening. They're totally removed from what people want and need in this country. And so it should be put to the people for a general election. And Farage Kerr, Simon Harris, they're all puppets anyway for the EU. So they, like, Varadkar just filled whatever his need was there, and he done his what he was told, and now he's of no use, and he can see what's brewing ahead, and he's getting out before the proverbial hits the fan.
So you think he's just abandoning a sinking ship?
Yeah, exactly.
And do you blame him for everything that's gone wrong in this country? Certainly over the last 5 years, this country has gone... I mean, economically, we're doing okay, but we are recklessly spending money. But do you blame him, say, for example, waiting lists going up? The HSE has got worse. You can't afford to buy a house anymore. The cost of living is through the ceiling. The most expensive place to buy energy in the world. Do you blame him for all of those things? Are they his responsibility?
Well, I mean, like, on a professional level, yes, they are. Who else is to blame? I mean, if he's in the top position of power in the country, then who else who else do you blame? Mm-hmm. So he is responsible. There's no responsibility been taken anywhere. They're jumping ship like rats before everything hits the fan. So he is to blame, because whoever is in the power and whoever is the leader, they're the ones that sign off on these things, you know, at the end of the day. And I know they have a lot of advisors around them and that, but clearly, you know, there has to be someone who takes the rap. And none of them are willing to take the rap. They're not willing to be transparent. They're not willing to take responsibility. And Varadkar knew that there is a storm coming, and that is why he got out as quickly as, you know, he did, you know, and unexpectedly as well.
But you're saying you'd like a general election. I'm curious, Sarah. You're saying you'd like a general election because you believe it should be up to the people to elect a new Taoiseach or a leader of Fine Gael. So in saying that, who would you vote for? This is the problem, because they're all singing from the same hymn sheet. I mean, you can vote for Sinn Féin, but they're just more of the same, if not worse. You can vote for People Before Profit. Jesus, I can only imagine People Before Profit and the Sock Dems around the country would be destroyed. You know, they're the wokest party you could ever come across. So,
no, I'd vote for Aon Tú, for Padraig Tobin. I think he's the most reasonable, level-headed, logical, connected person in there at the moment. And obviously there's other independents as well that I would have time for. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because they're independents, it's hard for them to actually gain any real power. But as a party in that, yes, I don't agree with everything that Aon Tú say, but they're the best of a bad bunch in my case at the moment.
Bit of a Hobson's choice, isn't it? All right, it is a Hobson's choice.
Yeah, but he seems very level-headed, and he's very logical, and that's what people need and want in this country at the moment.
Okay.
Like the problems that they're so far removed, the crowd that's in there now, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, even Sinn Féin, I wouldn't go near Sinn Féin, because they're just saying what people want to hear to get elected, and they're going to be more of the same. We really need a politician with some balls, to put it lightly, who is willing to stand against the narrative, and who is willing to question and think critically about policies and how they will impact the Irish people on the ground going forward. Not all of this politics up in the air that nobody feels really. It's about
we need to give up talking about hate speech laws and gender critical ideas and all this nonsense. We need to stop that and get back to brass tacks and dealing with the country's problems.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Exactly. And and immigration being one massive thing
problem
that needs to be addressed. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, listen, Sarah, thank you very much indeed. Really appreciate it. Lewis, I'll be with you now in 2 seconds.
Niall Boylan has been told to shut up from the time he was in school. And all through his life, they just keep telling him to shut up. But not anymore. Because now he has his own live podcast, the Niall Boylan Podcast.
Lewis, I've said already.
I
said already. I believe Leo's a nice guy, but as a leader and politician, I believe he's about as useful as a handbrake on a canoe. What's your view of him?
My view of it, Niall, like, I'm 21, and I'm sick of the government like having control of all of us at this moment of time.
But that's what governments do, isn't it? That's what governments do. Like, they are in control.
Yeah, they don't know how to run this country up at all. Like, look at all these council houses that are getting built at this moment. They meant to be getting built since 2006, and they're only building them now. Why is that?
Because they stopped building council houses and social housing for a period of time because they thought we'd have enough housing. They made a mess of it.
And we don't have enough housing. Because I'm 21 and I'm living with my mum and my brother and my dad. And, like, I'm living with them, like,
do you think you'll ever own a house?
No, I don't. I can't see myself owning a house till I'm at least 56, at least.
Right. Okay, because it's just too expensive
expensive, Niall.
Yeah.
Because my cousin went off to Sydney, to Australia, to move away because she couldn't afford to live. And that's my only uncle's daughter he has.
And as a young person, are you thinking of moving or are you thinking of staying in Ireland or what are you thinking of doing?
I'm thinking of staying in Ireland because I work as a radio presenter and that's the way I make my living from.
Right, okay, well done. And do you think that do you think he was a bad leader or was he just had all the wrong ideas?
I think he had all the wrong ideas, Niall, personally. Mm. But I think something has come down the line and he just went away, stepped down, because, like, why do you think he stepped down, Niall, personally?
Why do I think he stepped down? Because I believe it all became too much, and I believe he realised the country was in a really bad state and probably going to get worse. And he didn't. And I do believe there was a lot of personal thing there. I think it was taking its toll personally on him.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But, Niall, do you think you'd like to be a Taoiseach?
Would I like to be the Taoiseach?
Yeah.
No.
No. I wouldn't.
No, like, I wouldn't mind going in. I don't mind going into politics, but I don't think I would like the responsibility of being the Taoiseach.
Yeah.
Not at this point in my life.
It's a bit too much. It's a bit too much, Niall.
Yeah, but let me tell you now, I do believe I'd do a better job than Leo Varadkar.
You would, Niall. You would, 100%.
Mm. Thank you, Lewis. I think you're voting confidence.
Here's the thing, Niall. I think Leo Varadkar, doesn't know, what he's doing with the country. He's letting loads of people in, immigrants and stuff, to this country. Like, there are two people on the news talking about, why they left two foreigners, right? And they said this, why they left Gaza. You know where they left? They left their two kids at home. A foreigner left his two kids at home and he hopes they're safe in Gaza.
I understand some of the crazy stories that are going around, Lewis, and I've seen some of those videos and some of them are a bit mental, to be honest. Lewis, thank you very much indeed. Appreciate you coming on the air. Good luck with your career and I hope you do get to buy a house at some point in your life. Let me go to Tony if I can. Tony, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you going? You okay?
Good. Tony, will you miss Leo?
Celebration? No.
Didn't think so.
He should have never been in the job in the first place. Like, it was unfair to put him in because he was totally incapable of doing the job.
You think he was too young?
He was too weak. I don't think age has anything got to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah, but just like the strong man and his weak man. And we have Simon Harris now being muted.
Yeah.
Is he a strong man?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think what's happening with Simon Harris now, I think we're going out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Any sign of a weak man in Irish politics any sign of a strong man in Irish politics and he's branded as being a far-right racist and extremist.
Yeah.
And that's not that at all. You know what I mean? Like, they've been totally ignoring the Irish population.
Well, we saw that last weekend, didn't we?
But, they had all the polls. The Irish Times had the polls. And they were saying, oh, it's going to be a yes vote. It's going to be a yes vote. It was never going to be a yes vote. No, I did not speak to one person.
No, nor did I.
A lot of people.
We did about four shows on it over the course of the month, right? And we reached out to so many people to try and give a bit of balance and get a yes person on just to have a bit
and
of a barony.
Couldn't get them.
No, couldn't get them. Because because they didn't believe in it themselves. And there were politicians in this country going around campaigning for a yes vote who actually voted no.
They voted no afterwards.
Yeah.
And telling people.
Because they're liars.
No, it's just like they come up with one thing after the other and they honestly think that the Irish public are so stupid. They came up a couple of months ago where they were going to do a direct provision place out in Falls Bridge. What happened to that?
I don't think it happens.
No, because what they do is they just turn around and say, but just say anything to them. Just say anything to them. They're fools and they'll believe you.
But I think after last weekend, or should I say the weekend before last, I think they realise now that people are not fools.
Oh, they do realise now. After the no vote, they definitely realise now. They go, whoa, hold on. All we have in this country is a small minority that's pushing this nonsense and rubbish. But they're a very vocal minority. And they have the government's ears because they're NGOs. And that's what we have.
Okay, but okay, just very quickly. So Simon Harris looks like he's the one taking the job.
No, what we need is someone like Donald Trump. I'm serious, Niall. What we need.
Okay.
We need a strong man in Irish, or woman, or not in sexist, a strong man or Irish woman in politics.
Well, is there anybody you can think of within the parties at the moment? Is there anybody that you could say to yourself within the parties?
Only one you can think of offhand is Paddy Tobin.
A lot of people are saying that.
He's the only one, because he's the only one, or if it was Michael McDowell, they're the only ones who voiced the people's concerns about the referendum.
Michael McNamara is a good man too. Michael Collins, Richard Donoghue. There's a few of them there would be kind of centrists, right? Yeah.
And you have then...
We don't need a right-wing government.
We need a total overhaul.
We don't need a left-wing government. We need a centrist government who are critical thinkers are willing to keep people happy.
We don't need a far right.
No!
The far right doesn't even exist in this country. I don't think it does.
Well, there's a few of them, yeah. There's a few young fellas out there.
I know, you could count them on your hands.
Yeah, you probably could.
You could count them.
Yeah.
Right? And they're not involved in Irish politics. None of them are involved in Irish politics.
No. No, you need a party that are centrist. I mean, I seen Paul Murphy calling for a general election, and he was talking about, you know, his party, People for a Profit, the Sock Dems and Sinn Féin. That would be my worst nightmare.
Not a hope.
They destroy the country.
Not a hope. And Niall, I just want to say as well, like, the damage that's been done in the past to Ireland, and I'm old enough like yourself, yeah, but just to remember Charlie Haughey, Bertie Ahern, the whole lot of them, the brown envelopes, Liam Lawler, but that was, but just like as a country and as a nation, we could in time, but just make a recovery from that, and we did. The damage that's being caused now through open borders and all this nonsense that's going on of people walking in and out of Ireland for the four corners, we will never get over that.
Tony, thank you very much indeed. Appreciate you coming on and talking to us. Let me just, before I go to Joe, I want to go to Stephen if I can. Stephen, hi, how are you?
Grand, thank you. How are you?
Good, nice to talk to you again, Stephen. It's been a little while. Stephen, look,
Me on a day off.
It's okay. I Leo Varadkar obviously stepped down. I think the government took a good battering a week and a half ago at the referendum. I think that was the realisation that he was maybe a little bit out of touch with the people. Nice guy on a personal level. Useless leader, it seems, from what people are saying.
Yeah, I think as I was kind of half listening to you yesterday on my way home during the evening, and you know, I think he definitely had some good ideas, and if he tried to go on a solo run, sometimes he'd be put back in his box, to use the phrase, but definitely had some good ideas. I think he's getting out of this because it was too much for mid, you know, people have been calling for him to step down almost since he stepped up, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And there's only so long you can be in a hot kitchen for before you realise you're being boiled alive.
Don't get me wrong, you know, for people who've never been the Taoiseach of the country, I'm sure it's a difficult job to wake up every morning, have an advisor literally at the end of your bed and saying, you wake up and you go, right, what's wrong today? You know what I mean? I'm sure it's a tough job. But look, that's the position you chose. He was 22 years of age. He wanted to be the leader of the country. He got that very rare opportunity to do that. And he messed it up, Stephen. He messed it up.
I think you're right. I think in general, his leadership style was not really good enough. A little bit too much kind of delegation and letting people do what they wanted to do in terms of, you know, or not do what they wanted to do, for the want of a better term as well, in terms of health and education and justice and so on, over the 4 or 5 years or however long he was part of the cabinet as well, but certainly as Taoiseach, you know. And, you know, he's a nice guy. I never particularly loved or hated him, and I've only ever spoken to him in person once. But and that was to remind him that he actually needed to get people out talking about and explaining the hate speech and hate crime legislation. To which he reminded me that, you know, that legislation will protect people like your good self and so on as well. But, you know, so...
We'll talk about that another day.
I was second flabbergasted turning the radio on yesterday at 1 o'clock going to work. I was just like, oh. And then like that, like many people out there, I had to check my calendar to make sure what day it was.
There's a heap of them there. I mean, over the last 5 years, there's a heap of them there that should have been either chucked out or resigned. You know, which would have put him in a better position, but he just didn't have the ability to do that. And as you rightly said, and I mentioned it last night as well on numerous occasions, that there were many moments over the last 5 or 10 years where I saw the real Leo Varadkar, where I saw the person that should be the leader of the country, where he would turn around on primetime television, for example, and say, I don't trust Neffet, we shouldn't be in a lockdown at this stage. And people were going, yes, yes, yes. The following day, it was like somebody put a hook on him on his neck and pulled him back in again and said, here, you can't be saying things like that. But that's not leadership. Leadership is going into the Dáil the next day and saying, listen, I'm sick of Neffet. They shouldn't be running the country. Yeah. We're running the country. This is what we're doing. Make decisions. Yeah. He couldn't make decisions. He was listening to NGOs all the time. Let's be clear. That referendum was a joke.
The government pays the NGOs to do their jobs to represent.
Some NGOs are good. Some are wasting money. Some of them are good. Some of them are wasting money.
But again, that's a whole other conversation that I'll have with you at some point or another.
Stephen, I'm up for some of the NGOs. They deserve every penny they get, right? But some of them are a complete and utter waste of money. And what you have to remember with an NGO is, generally
speaking... Do you have an example?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to start giving examples on the air. But you have to remember... Okay. Well, the National Women's Council, I think, is a waste of money. You have to... Because I believe they're completely out of touch with the women of Ireland. That was clear last two weekends ago.
Yeah, well, the nonsense of having a women's referendum on International Women's Day was a nonsense, considering we're going to have another referendum on June 6th. Because we're going to harmonise the European patent laws. Yeah. So
I don't think the majority of the country think
we should have had all the referendums on one day, plus the Europeans, plus the local elections, and possibly a general election on the same day as well.
Geez, that'd be a lot for people to think about, wouldn't it? Stay there for a second, because Joe, how you doing, Joe? Stephen thinks. Yeah, I think Stephen kind of, me and Stephen agree on this one, which makes a very rare change. You know, he's a nice guy, but he just wasn't fit to be leader of the country.
Well, I think Leo was out of his depth for quite a long time. I think it proved that going back to 2019 with the confidential document. Remember that?
The leak.
I think it was 5 years too late that he went. I think he should have went back then. Because I think I think after the marriage equality referendum, Niall, he changed his colours, really. He really went with the woke brigade.
Okay.
I think at the beginning when he came into politics, I said, like, okay, he looked clever. But I think he was a little bit, a bit of a fairy tale fantasy, really, like, you know. He was kind of led astray, like, and I think he just went along with the narrative that it was cool to be this and that and all this stuff, like, you know. I also think yesterday, Niall, that there should have been a couple of more resignations. I think Rodrigo Gorman should have resigned as well.
I would agree with you. Yeah. Given it was his idea.
Yeah, I think if anything, he should have went yesterday. I was actually thinking when I heard the announcement that was Rodrigo Gorman was gone.
I think most people were actually, yeah.
Because I think, if anything, he's...
There's a few of them, by the way. I can list off about 5 or 6 of them that should be gone at this stage, to be honest with you.
There's a lot of them there should be gone. But as you said, Niall, and you made a great point yesterday, they're all, the whole lot of them, the Dáil at the moment is a total snake pit. There's none of them any good in that Dáil. In fact, I think there needs to be a complete reset of the whole set of politics in this country. Because there's none of them any good. I don't trust any of them. I wouldn't even trust Sinn Féin. And I certainly don't trust the Soft Dems or Labour or...
Exist anymore? Does anyone ever talk about the Labour Party?
There is.
They do, of course.
Yeah.
Who would you vote for? So if there was an election, if they do call a general election, which I don't think they will, by the way, but who would you vote for?
I'd be voting for independence, Niall. I'd be voting probably for a couple of members of the National Party if they were to get in, and probably a couple of others. But I definitely wouldn't be voting for the Seán that's in Dáil Éireann at the moment. If you were running for the country, Niall, I definitely would vote you as well, of course.
Thanks very much, leader.
But I think if anything, one of your callers said there, Ronan Mullen, Yeah, not Ronan Mullins. Sorry, yeah, Pat O'Tobin.
Oh, Pat O'Tobin, yeah.
I think Pat O'Tobin and Michael McDougall, and I think Michael McNamara would make great leaders. I think they have shown.
Okay, that's a good point. Let me just go back to Stephen on that. Stephen, you had people before Prophet Jesse calling for a general election, and Paul Murphy saying we need to get rid of this right wing government and put in a left wing government. Now, let's be clear, Fine Gael are not a right wing government. I mean, that's quite clear. They've had a marriage equality referendum, they've had repealed the 8th Amendment. They're far from a right wing government. They would be centre left, to be honest with you. Do you not think, people before profit are wrong. We need a balance in government. And I don't want, I mean, we've seen worldwide right-wing governments are now being elected all over the place, right? And, you know, that's not really what I would like to see either. I don't want to see an extreme right-wing government. I don't want to see an extreme left-wing government like people before profit either. I want to see a good centrist government who consider everybody and listen to everybody. Isn't that really what we need?
It is what we need, and that is the general idea. Somebody was saying about, you know, when Leo came in, Fine Gael kind of became more of a metropolitan party and kind of forgot the fact that, you know, they represent an awful lot of people in rural Ireland and people who are in farming constituencies and so on and so forth. And Fianna Fáil was always kind of bigger business and, you know, conservative politics and things like that. So arguably you have a very close centre left, centre right coalition at the moment.
Yeah.
If there was there's not going to be an election this year, much as many people want.
No, I think you're wrong.
I do kind of want it myself. I think if they get past, they might get past the budget and then maybe go to an election, because
a clever move for the government will be to have an election.
Money, give us a vote, kind of a thing.
A clever move for the government will be to have an election with a low turnout, because that will give them a better chance of getting back in. And the best way to do that is have a winter election on a really cold day.
The people mentioning the likes of Pather and Michael McDowell and people like that, I don't want to live in a theocratic state anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a hard right theocratic state. That's not what the country needs.
But Pather's not really hard right.
Throw them.
I mean, Pather, okay.
He's fairly far off centre, put it that way.
Okay, he doesn't agree with abortion. He is Christian. I get that, okay?
If you got people like Mullins and Keoghan and a few others, you know, we're in for a hell of a hard time for another 5 years.
Well, you would be. You know? Yeah, you would be. I wouldn't probably. But
I certainly would be, you know.
You would be. But they
might actually pay for a ticket for me out of the country, but that's a whole other debate.
Yeah, but as a young person, Stephen, and you're reasonably young, but as a young person, I mean, you're in a good position. You do have a home, don't you? You own your own home, don't you?
No, I'm living with my parents.
Okay, so is there ever an expectation?
I'm 35, going 36 this year, and I'm still at home with my parents.
So you'll never own your own home, probably?
Most likely not. And I've said that several
good,
times.
It's not good, is it?
No, and, you know, I have the option, of course, of going out and getting a better job or getting two jobs and saving and doing all this other kind of things and cutting out my avocado toast and shite, which I don't eat, but anyway, you know. But the fact of the matter is I have to be happy in the job that I'm doing as well, as opposed to just being there for a paycheck.
Okay, stay there just a second. Let me just bring Eric in. Eric, hi, how are you doing?
Niall, how's it going? This is Donald. I'm taking Eric's place today to Lake. My case to be the new Taoiseach of Ireland.
I got a lot of votes. A lot of votes. Yeah, go on. Go on, Eric.
Hell yeah, Niall. Sorry for being a dope there.
You're okay. Are you happy to see Leo go, or do you think maybe he got a raw deal?
I'm in two minds about it. One, I think, you know, for all the issues with the current government, I do think there's something to be said for stability. And although I didn't agree with all their policies, it's not nice to know that there's some uncertainty ahead. You know, I would have been waiting to vote them out in the general election. And who's going to come in now, we don't know. Is there going to be a general election called earlier than expected? We'll see. But in terms of a raw deal, no, I don't. I think with Leo, I agree with a lot of the callers here. I don't have anything bad particularly to say about him. I don't have anything good. But I think this was coming simply for the fact that he's betrayed a lot of the core beliefs that he seemed to display when he first came into the government, you know, and I think what happened, in my opinion, is that because he came out as a gay man in 2015, he's had to kind of conform to the identity politics and agree with a lot of the stuff that other people have pushed in his cabinet that I don't think he agrees with at the core. And you've mentioned that yourself, Niall. You've said that at times we've seen the mask slip and he's reverted back to his true beliefs, you know, like common sense type of approach. So I don't think he's gotten a raw deal. I just think at this moment he's abandoning ship because there's something he knows that the general public don't know is on the horizon. Because, you know, if he really believes that this government is fit to lead and earn more seats in the next general election, then why wouldn't he stay on and get the glory, well, or at least lead?
And I agree with you, yeah, that maybe there is something coming down the track, but he may have done it just for personal reasons.
Yeah, I mean, look, and obviously...
Tough job, it is a tough job.
It is a tough job, and those reasons will probably become more apparent as he begins to think about what he wants to do next. The one thing I would point out, though, you know, like if you look, he was in the US for Paddy's Day weekend. You know, is there? I would assume that there's some type of discussions or negotiations going on with
a lot of people.
There.
A lot of people are saying that, by the way. A lot of people have said, why suddenly after his trip to Washington did he make this decision? That maybe somebody said something to him, or maybe he had a discussion or a meeting, or a lot of people are saying. Well, I mean, we can all speculate. He did say yesterday there's no other reason, and he said he'd no plans. But I find that hard to believe, because now I don't know how popular he is with his pals in Europe. But I mean, I know his eye is on Europe, and I know Michal's eye is on Europe, and so is Pascal. Obviously, has got a job in Europe now as well. So
even if it's not in the EU, they all have these businesses. They love taking in these people with influence. Think of all the traveling Leo Varadkar has done the last couple of years as Taoiseach, as Taoiseach. He's made a lot of contacts in different countries, and again, influence is a big thing. So, in my opinion, I think in the future, after he's had time to think, if there's not already an offer on the table, he'll have an offer on the table either within the European Union or some type of multinational company that was going to use him for his contacts. So that's my opinion.
Yeah. And in relation to what going forward with Ireland, Simon Harris, do you think he's fit for the job?
The hall monitor, I don't know. I live in Dublin 1. And we're represented here by one of the representatives, Pascal Donoghue.
Yeah.
And out of the four reps in my area, his office and him are the only ones that, even if they don't agree with me, they take my concerns on board, they respond to me, they get answers for me. So the best of a bad bunch, I go with Pascal, I think.
He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. He's too busy.
You think so?
Yeah, he won't do it.
I would put him forward, but yeah, more than likely, I would say it's a toss up between Harris, and then maybe you could see someone like McEntee. You know, she seems to be hungry for power.
Oh, Stephen, Helen McEntee.
She may be hungry for it, but I don't think anyone wants her.
I think she's the only one who thinks she's good at her job. You know what I mean? I mean, I think that would really backfire, Eric, if they put Helen McEntee in. Look at her track record so far. She's obsessed with identity politics. She's obsessed with herself, I think, more than anything else. And crime is not in a good place right now. The Garda Síochán are not in a good place right now. That's all at her door. She could not be the Taoiseach. She just couldn't.
Well, she was never suited to go into justice. When she was Minister for Mental Health, she was actually quite effective, and I had met her two times, actually, and was very much on top of her brief, knew what she was talking about, and was listening to the organisations that work with people in mental health, you know, and
so she's out of her
knew
depth.
What she was talking about. So she was well out of her depth in justice, and that was you could argue that it was a very dick move to put her there. You know, maybe she was getting too big for her britches or something, and somebody decided, right, you can go there and see what happens.
Yeah. look what's happened.
I think Simon Harris is possibly Simon Harris or maybe Coveney, but I don't think
he doesn't want it. No,
he's
already
himself out.
Yeah,
he's ruled himself out already. So
then that leaves Harris as the only one.
Yeah, it does. Because I don't think Pascal would take it, because obviously he's working in Europe as well. I think he's already got too much on his plate. So he's not going to do it. You know, he can't do everything. I mean, there's a limit to many hours in the day. So, I mean, and being the Taoiseach is not only a full-time job, it's a 24-hour job, essentially. So, and don't get me wrong, it's a well-paid job, but it's 24 hours. Thank you, Eric, for that. I'll go to a quick break and I'm going to come to Billy.
Niall Boylan has been told to shut up from the time he was in school. And all through his life, they just keep telling him to shut up. But not anymore. Because now he has his own live podcast, the Niall Boylan Podcast.
Sorry, got to go to Anna first. Billy, I'll be with you straight after that. Anna's just waiting a bit longer. Sorry, Anna, I do apologize for keeping you waiting. Anna, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
How are you doing, Anna? You've been listening there, you know, to Stephen basically saying, well, I think he's saying the same thing as me. He was just out of his depth, Leo Varadkar. Do you think he was a good leader?
Definitely not. I think 100% of Ireland thinks he's not. He should have stepped down because the standards of office wasn't there in the first place when he put out that video of him in the George, somebody else. He purposely put out that. He should have stepped down there now. You don't see any other world leaders carrying on like that. Then he should have been told to step down when he was caught inside trading, giving his buddy HSC contracts, you know, because they were buying for the contracts. He should have stepped down there. There's many things that he should have stepped down from. I would just tell you now, I live in a small village. The roars out 70-year-olds, when I was coming up, it was like in the north when they got rid of the Wicked Witch and they used to chant that song, "The Wicked Witch is gone now." Well, it was Leo, Leo, Leo was gone in this village because there was 70-year-olds and I was roaring over them. They were roaring back, "Yahoo," and putting up the thumbs and everything they were.
Look, I know a lot of people are glad to see the back of him, but here you go, Anna. What's the options now? Simon Harris? Is that going to be any better for your village? I don't think so.
No, none of them. None of them. They shouldn't have been leading the country in the first place. Leo got in on the 8th count, you know what I mean?
Fifth count.
Was it? They shouldn't have been there in the first place. I think McEntee is hungry for power. Pushing this hate speech bill in. It was being pushed in the Shannon while he now announced this at 12 o'clock. It was on the draft for 12 o'clock, the next stage of the hate speech bill. He didn't stand down himself. He was told to get F-U-C-K out.
You think he was pushed out?
He was told by, my personal opinion is, he was told by America and the WEF in conjunction with both of them to get out because now the eye is on of what they've signed Ireland up with the immigration and everything. They've destroyed this country.
Well, they haven't signed the immigration pact yet, and that doesn't come into force for 2 years. But they haven't signed it yet, anyway.
But that's my opinion.
I'm just saying to you, just in relation to that, just to clarify, it hasn't been signed yet, nor has the WHO. Treaty that hasn't been signed yet either. They haven't been signed, and don't get me wrong,
they're coming up.
There is debates to be had around those, whether we should or shouldn't be signing up for these things, but that's a whole different argument. So I don't think anybody said to him, you know, that there's what's coming down the track and you shouldn't have signed those because they weren't signed.
What has he signed? They signed directives last November and they were caught by the Shannon. And there was a fair few in November. There was about five of them that they themselves decided, hungry power, we sign all these behind the backs of everybody. And the Shannon caught them by the arse. And the Shannon pulled them up. And then they put a committee in and appointed their own committee to oversee the mistakes they made, they said. You see, nobody's talking about
it. Well, this is why, and I want to say, reiterate this again, 75% of our legislation comes from Europe. Now, whether you can complain about that all you want, but we signed up for that when we joined the EU. So 75%. So what's really important when we come to the elections in June is who you send to Europe. Not so much, you know, who's a local TD in Ireland or in town or whatever it is. It's who the MEPs are. And as far as I can see at the moment, most of the MEPs that we have currently there at the moment are useless.
Yeah.
Because they're putting their hand up and saying yes to everything.
There's new blood coming down the track.
Oh, there is, yeah. Trust me.
Every man, woman, ordinary man, woman, citizen, you know, workers. There's a lot coming forward. There's a party there. They'll be joining the North and the South. They won't be joining together, but independent. I mean, they have 50 so far. All you need is 85 to get in and win this. And there's lots of people signing up to them independents. They're all going to come together. We've an awful lot of...
Who are you voting? Anna, just very quickly, who are you going to vote for if this is a general election?
I'm going to vote for that independent party. Or there's another fella...
Which one? There's a few independent parties. Which independent party? Independent Ireland, is it?
Yeah, I think it is. But I don't think there's nobody in our area constituency that has signed up. But there's a little fella from the... Freedom Party. He's after signing up, and I don't know the man, but I congratulated him through Twitter because all the rest of them, Fianna Gael, Fianna Fáil, and Social Democrats came in here. I had a look at their leaflets and their CVs. They went in the bin the day before. Next of all, this man is running, so I'll be voting for that man. okay. When the election comes.
Okay, thanks for that, Anna. Let me just go to Billy. Billy, hi, how are you?
Niall, I bring good tidings. Helen McEntee has ruled herself out of the run.
Oh, thank you. That just came in there now. Yeah, I just noticed that there now. It just came in there. Yeah. So it is Simon Harris.
And also Heather Humphreys has said she is not going to run either.
Yeah.
So,
but I know that was never in the run. That's like me saying I'm not going to win the running first.
Apparently she was approached by members of the parliamentary party to put her name forward. Okay. She said she would not.
20 parliamentary party members have now backed Simon Harris.
24 as of last.
It's gone up again. Okay.
It's gone up. So it's likely going to be Harris.
Okay.
Look, Leo. Number one, Leo should never have been Taoiseach. Should have been Simon Coveney. Leo, and if you remember, Owen Murphy, who was his director of elections back when the end of Kenny saga happened, they tied up the parliamentary party and Leo got in. Simon Coveney was much more popular with the grassroots of the party, but their say in matters is a lot smaller than the parliamentary party. So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
Leo, I will remember Leo for his socks with Justin Trudeau. Kylie socks. His love actually comments when he went to Downing Street for the first time.
But do you remember his quotes from movies during COVID? They were the best ones. There was ones from Game of Thrones and everything.
To his credit, Niall, I would go back to March 2020 when he was in Washington and the speech that he gave to the nation here around COVID, trying to rally things and trying to reassure people. And, you know, I will give him credit for that.
Yeah, well, he probably didn't write that.
It was his gift to...
He'll be remembered for that.
Yeah, so there's some things. Every political career, the old adage, political careers end in failure. He's walking off stage at his own time. Obviously, the failure for Leo will be the referendums. Clearly, the government...
There's a lot of failures. Billy, the country, apart from the financial aspect.
I'll let you know it's in my crystal ball then, Niall, as well. But the failure with that referendum kind of shows that not only is Leo, but the vast majority of the Dáil is out of touch with what the populace wants and how the populace is thinking. I think that has scared them greatly, especially going into the elections. Mm. As I said, the only other thing is Fine Gael should have never gone back into government this time around. They shouldn't. It's just, you know, and in fairness to Leo, if you remember at the start of the government negotiations, he said he didn't want to go back into government.
Yeah.
He wanted a stint in opposition, but the numbers added up in the way that they did, and Sinn Féin didn't quite get over the line, so that's why they went back in. Crystal ball time, Niall. Simon Harris will be the next Taoiseach. It'll happen probably by the end of the week that he will be anointed and into that position. You're not going to get a general election before the new year, I would say. So at this
could
stage,
be worse. It could have been Eamon Ryan. You know what I mean?
Could have been, but at this stage, yeah. I think there's for the Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael parliamentary party. I think it's 11 or 12 of them are not running in the next election. So he needs to have a local election, and he's going to try and rebuild the party so they have candidates to run in a general election. That takes time.
Stephen, you must be happy with the Simon Harris thing. Simon Harris is very woke.
Look. He is and he isn't. Again, I thought he was okay when he was... Was he in health?
He was.
Can't remember.
He was in health.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in there before Donnelly. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was okay. I think he's an all right guy.
He's
certainly has, you know, links to... Like, his brother runs a charity for disabilities and, you know, he understands and can empathise and can explain better to people than Leo ever could. So he would certainly be better at taking on people's points of view and listening to them. I don't think he's as woke in terms of his economics. I'd say he's much more conservative with his economics, which wouldn't be a bad thing. Think he's going to, you know, march in under a feckin' rainbow with a whole load of
bright flags hanging out of him.
Yeah, exactly. Putting petals down in front of him, that's not going to happen. You know,
yes,
I don't think A, the party will let him, and B, I don't think he actually wants any of that sort of stuff. He reads what way the wind is blowing at the moment and will try and save his own skin.
Sorry, Billy, what are you trying to say to Stephen there? Go ahead.
I was going to say that, just to call out, that Leo Varadkar came from what would have been traditionally the conservative wing of Fine Gael. Mm. Himself and Lucinda Creighton came into government at the same time. They were both seen as being of that conservative ilk. Lucinda went off to found NUA. Leo, you know, I don't know really what happened. For a man who, as I said, came from that conservative side of the party, I think after the marriage equality referendum, he very much took a shift onto ideological stuff. Now, in fairness to Fine Gael and the 11 years that they've been in power, we've gone from, you know, 15% unemployment to near full employment. The economy has been rebuilt to a greater or lesser extent.
But that would have, but now hang on, but don't give them credit for that. I am
giving them credit.
No, hang on. That happened.
They definitely put an awful lot of the work in to actually get us to where we are.
Absolutely, but that's the job. Hold on a second. That's like the driver of the bus got me to stop. No, hang on, lads. You to say that we came out of a recession and, you know, unemployment went back down again, you know, and we're back to full employment again. That's like saying the driver of the bus got me to the bus stop. That's their job.
You've got a very short political memory of how bad things were in 2009, 2010, 2011.
I know how bad they were. They were disastrous.
The Troika were here. Who was the and I know it wasn't
16%, 16% unemployment. I remember it. Yeah,
exactly. But the Troika were removed under the likes of Pascal Donoghue. Financial policy changed in this country. We now have budgetary surpluses in this country. You know, it's a case that things aren't perfect. No one will say things are perfect, but they're a damn sight better than they were previously in certain areas. Housing, healthcare,
but here's the thing that they are better for the country and they are better for the economy, but for the people are struggling, Billy, to pay their bills.
The people are the country. The people are the economy.
But hold on for a second. Most of us are 20% at least down on what we were 10 years ago when it comes to paying bills.
I'll put it like this now, right? However badly you think the country is doing with Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens, they still make up nearly 50% of preference in opinion polls. So however unpopular they are, and they are unpopular, there's still a portion of people out there that will support and vote for them.
Well, there you go. That's all we have time for now. But don't forget, by the way, we continue this conversation for another hour. And we have that in part two of the podcast. So if you're listening on Spotify or you're listening on the website or wherever you happen to be listening to this particular podcast, go back to the website, go back to Spotify, and you'll see part two of this conversation. Don't forget as well, please support the show. It's really important. It's the only way we can survive is by your subscriptions, your donations. Go to www.nileboylan.com. We charge $5.99 for our subscriptions, the price of a pint of beer between the three of us. We have a lot of costs, a lot of expenses, and it's really hard to make this work every single month. We spend thousands putting this out and giving you a platform uncensored. So please do support us by either donating or subscribing monthly, where you can watch all of our previous interviews. There's over 200 or 300 shows up there now on the website, and you can watch all of those if you subscribe. As I said, please try and help us. Please try and support us. Now go to part two on the website, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever it is you're listening, and enjoy the rest of the show.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.